Hello and welcome to the Autism Mums podcast.
I'm Victoria.
And I'm Natalie.
We're two sisters raising autistic children who know the joy, the challenges and the everyday moments.
This is a supportive space for honest conversations, practical tips, shared strength and expert advice.
Whether you're celebrating a win, surviving a meltdown or just trying to make it through the day, we're right here with you.
Join us as we share the ups, the downs, and everything in between parenting autistic children.
Hello and welcome back. We're re-releasing this episode on autistic burnout because summer can actually be when burnout fully shows itself.
The latest tribunal statistics show SEND appeals reached 29,000 in 2025-26, the highest ever recorded. Behind every one of those numbers is a child who has often been struggling for a long time.
After a full year of masking, coping, and pushing through, some children simply collapse when the routine ends. If your child seems more dysregulated, more exhausted, or more withdrawn this summer, this episode is especially for you.
In today's episode, we're talking about autistic burnout, what it can look like, what can cause it, and how we've supported our children through it. If your child is struggling right now, we really hope this conversation helps you to feel seen, understood, and supported. Everything we share here is based on our own lived experiences as parents. We're absolutely not medical professionals. Every child is different, and if you have concerns about your child's welfare, it's always really important to seek advice from a qualified professional.
Before we start, we thought we might explain. Some of you may have noticed that we re-released some episodes for a few weeks.
And anyone who's looking at any clips will be able to see that I'm wearing some very cool pink clip-ons onto my glasses today, which is all to do with the story. On the 23rd of December, I was just packing up for Christmas and I ran out into the garden to tell my husband that we were going out to deliver presents. And we've got a really crazy Labrador, which I think I've referred to before. And from what I can gather, he saw me running, charged into me and knocked me over. And so I've had concussion, which makes it quite hard to look at the screen and made it quite hard to even speak or think for a few weeks. So this is our first recording since then. Where we are, oh gosh, 3 months later.
So we have returned and now she has flashy eyewear. I said they would look better with me because they match my pink hair.
But they would. But anyway, I can tolerate the screen with them on.
So today we're going to talk about burnout. And this is something that can happen to anyone. But the Autistic Society states that being autistic can make fatigue and burnout more likely. That's due to the pressures of social situations and sensory overload. So if your child or the person you care for has experienced fatigue or burnout, helping them to manage their energy levels is really essential.
Have either of your children experienced burnout, do you think, Nat?
I was thinking about this and I don't think so, but I'm not 100% sure because my son has ADHD. So I expect he was burnt out when he was in mainstream school, but because he's got that hyper element to him. It's not like he's going to lie down and not be able to leave his room because he absolutely needs to get out of the house, if you see what I mean.
Yeah.
But yes. Is it something that you've experienced?
Yeah, both my children have had burnout. One of my children twice, I would guess. It was something that I didn't recognise with my daughter. It was pointed out by one of the specialists from the early birds course who I was speaking to, suggested when she was at mainstream before she left that she was in burnout. And I wasn't so familiar with it really until that point.
And what does it look like?
From the resources that I was given, it said to look out for increased meltdowns and more sensory sensitivity. This can be physical pain and headaches. So one of my children has migraines and these were more frequent and interspersed with minor headaches. I'm not an expert on migraines, but so many headaches. My other child tends to complain of a lot of aches and pains all over when they've been in burnout. Other things that you can see are physically shutting down. Don't know if either of yours, do they ever shut down?
No.
Or lose speech?
I don't think so.
One of mine shuts down and also loses speech when their anxiety is really bad and they're in burnout.
Yeah.
So I see a lot more of that.
And do they hide away as well?
Both of them, when they've been experiencing burnout, haven't wanted to leave their rooms. It's a lot of effort and they're very tired, very fatigued.
And in certain situations, do they also like cover their face and things like that when they can't cope?
It's difficult for me to pull out what of that would be burnout. One of my children likes to cover their face with the anxiety generally. So I would say when burnout's there, that all those things are heightened. There are a lot more. So balaclavas are a go-to. With the shutdowns, it's often in a school setting. So unfortunately, it's been at mainstream and at specialist when they've been unable to cope and they've just completely shut down. And what I notice around that is the ability to speak also disappears. What works is me writing things, maybe with a yes or a no answer or different options, and giving them the pen to point, just point. Often it's not even writing anything. And that is one way that we can communicate when they're not really able to speak.
Oh, I see. So is that just sort of in normal situations when you need to know something, that's just how you communicate? Or is that more when you're trying to work out what's wrong?
I usually do that when I'm trying to work out what's wrong. They're unable to say what. That I might have had an indicator like that there's something wrong from them, but then they can't go any further with talking about what that is. Or it can be, you know, do you want to do this or do you want to do that? Choices are even harder. I mean, one of my children struggles so much with choices, which is probably another episode. But again, in burnout, it's even worse.
Yeah. What about social situations? Do you find that those are more difficult?
Yeah, the tolerance of a social situation is completely gone. So, I mean, they would both have preferred to stay in their rooms. Before, I would have thought that any situation was stressful and exhausting. And what I've learned over time is that's not true. So going out might be hard, but going into town, for example, where it's busy, there's a lot of things that would cause stress on a normal day when they're not in burnout. But that does not compare to walking on the beach or doing a special interest. So one of my children's very much into metal detecting. So going metal detecting or for a walk in the woods, not too far because of the aches and pains, but short outings are okay. And actually, I think can increase energy. Because what I've found is whilst they might want to stay in their rooms, it's not helpful after a certain amount of time for building up again. So I try to make sure that I take my child out once a day. And if that is just to the beach, because we live 5 minutes from the beach, so it's very handy. But if it's just a walk along the beach with the metal detector, without the metal detector, or a quick trip to the park, things that feel like they're not too demanding and they're not draining in any way, that can help.
That's tend to be what we do with our children, is getting out in nature seems to refuel them, restore them.
Yeah, it's interesting that, isn't it? I suppose it makes a lot of sense. One of mine particularly likes the quiet, doesn't like busy. I think it's just very restorative, isn't it, being out in nature?
Yeah, and it makes me think of a bit like depression, when you want to shut yourself away and you don't feel like you have that energy. But if you can push past that and just get out and get a bit of sunlight, that actually really helps.
Yes, sunlight is helpful. Absolutely. It is helpful for everyone, isn't it?
Yeah. So the types of things that can cause autistic fatigue and burnout, I think it varies, but it can be things like sensory overload, dealing with social situations, having to mask in certain situations and hide their autistic traits, suppressing stimming, a sense of not meeting other people's or society's expectations of them, changes to routine in day-to-day life. So a change of school can increase anxiety. These can all be additional causes for autistic fatigue and burnout.
I think these are definitely things that have contributed to both my children's experiences of burnout. So one of my children definitely experienced this after changing schools. And I think you can pull into that the sense of not meeting people and society's expectations of them at the time,
and requiring so much more effort to keep that mask up than what was needed before, dealing with new social situations. And again, a really busy environment. And I believe that was what led to their burnout 100%. Took a few months to recover. And then my other child, there were changes to the timetable that they were struggling with. There was a sense of pressure in a lesson where they could get the hang of it. There was my accident, which certainly accelerated all of these issues. Sometimes I think that we don't realize how much we are holding up everything. Once I hit my head and then term started, I wasn't able to drive for 2.5 months. And even now, I don't do the level of driving that I would have. But my child's goal is a 30-minute drive. I couldn't take them there, very routine driven. So not only was it that I wasn't driving them, often they wouldn't be in our car. We wouldn't have the soundtrack, wouldn't have me there going through the timetable and being the go-between with the school. They had to put that mask up, which they managed for a couple of weeks. Initially, after I had the accident, my husband took time off work and took him in. And then a very kind friend whose child is at the school offered to drive him. And then sometimes our mum would take him. But all these things were different. And again, none were set. And because I was feeling so terrible, I'm not even there to support him the way that I would have with getting out of bed, eating breakfast, getting dressed, all those steps that lead up to it.
I think of it as there's always like a baseline of anxiety due to sensory. So every day can be different. Some days clothes aren't a problem. Some days they're a really big problem. But that can be just if you've got nothing planned for the day, it can be the clothes that cause the anxiety. And then if you add in anything else, it's going to layer up. And then if you've got big changes, like, and especially unexpected things like an accident, that's a big deal. And that can really tip the balance with what they can cope with.
Yeah, 100%. One of my children, when they're in burnout, cannot tolerate clothes, just about underpants and a fluffy blanket on top. But that would be the default. And that's also a really big indicator to me that we're in burnout. Also, no tolerance for teeth brushing and just materials.
It's like the things that they find difficult that on a good day they could just about cope with. When there's something big going on or changes, those are the things that are just, tip them over then. And it becomes exhausting, doesn't it?
Absolutely exhausting.
What can we do if a person that we care for is experiencing fatigue and burnout?
So it was suggested to me that you've got to look at the energy accounting. So looking at which activities drain you and which activities energize you. So start there and then try to plan and balance these activities over the day or over the week. I've talked in the past, I've been really guilty of overscheduling both my children when they were younger before I realised. And when they're not in burnout, they need a lot more recovery time than I would from activities. So when they're in burnout, I'm very careful, as we were saying. So look at those activities. So it maybe that is a walk to the beach. Maybe it is a trip out into nature or maybe seeing a friend. But I would start small. And then we see how that goes and see what the recovery time is like. And when I say recovery time, so for my children, an indicator that they are wiped out is that they go to their rooms and they close the door. So it's how long they stay in that state. Will they eat? What's the tolerance like around food? So for mine, food is another indicator. It's always tricky, actually, for both of them. But when they're in burnout, again, the set is sensory, isn't it? As you mentioned, that tolerance for food is a lot less. For example, I took one of my children up these soy desserts that they sometimes have. They're a bit hit and miss at the moment anyway, but I brought the wrong spoon.
Oh.
So again, it's that tolerance level because that isn't always a problem, the spoon.
But, and also, what about the reactions that you get to the spoon as well? Are they a bit more volatile than they would be?
A lot more. Emotional, absolutely.
So now not going to eat it at all because you brought the wrong spoon. Not that you could go and get a different
sleep. That's ruined. That's done. We've had to just focus on there being a lot of downtime, still getting dressed, and we're still trying to stick to a routine, but it's more fluid. It's more flexible. It's less. I would say with my other child, we approached it in a similar way. It might be one social engagement and then would need a lot of recovery time. And then we just gradually built that up with support as well for this child.
Yeah. And it's important to sort of recognise that these periods do happen, but they can come through them and recover and be happy and be able to cope again.
Absolutely. It's temporary. It does pass. If it's the first time your child's experienced burnout, and knowing what it is for them that gives them energy and what it is that takes it away, it needs a little bit of experimenting with.
Yeah, definitely. I think it can be easy to sort of think about what helps yourself and try that and expect it to have the same effect on your child.
I totally used to do that.
Yeah, I'm sure that's very common.
We hope you've taken something from our conversation today, whether that's a small idea to try or simply the reassurance that you're not alone in this. Just as a reminder, everything we share is based on our own experiences. We've shared some links to resources in the show notes, but it's important to seek guidance from professionals if you're worried about your child or need more tailored support. Thanks for joining us today on the Autism Mums podcast.
We hope you have found a little support, a little solidarity, and a reminder that you are not in this alone.
If you enjoyed the episode, we'd love it if you'd follow the show and share it with another parent or carer who might need to hear it.
And if you've got a story or a moment you'd like to share, we'd love to hear from you at www.theautismmums.com.
Until next time, take care.